This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
We have the great fortune every Thursday morning to be able to check in with Paul Osborne, the City Hall insider, the publisher of the Decatur Tribune, twice elected mayor of Decatur. Paul, good morning. Glad to have you with us. Happy to be here with you today. The election results, you seem to be right on. I'm telling you, if you ever go to Las Vegas, let me know. I'm going to ride on your coattails. You have just predicted just about everything. But I guess it to me, it wasn't a big surprise, the turnout. Tuesday, only a little over 12% of registered voters participated, although that number was even higher in Decatur than it was in some other areas outside of Decatur. So the voter apathy continues. But any big surprises for you?
No, not really. Good morning, Brian. I thought it would finish about the way it did. I think I was particularly impressed with Chuck Tuell and he went from third in the primary to first place, and he really worked hard on this. I'm sure they all did, but he went door to door. I mean, he did a lot of advertising. He took more verbal abuse as a council member in the last year than I've ever seen anybody take, just demeaning him, and because we had a few people that wanted him out of there. And if anything, I think maybe it spurred him on to work even harder to get reelected. And I'd talked to him a few times when he was making a decision whether to run again. And it was not an easy decision for him to make. At least that's the way I read it. And, you know, he was taking a lot of verbal abuse, and things were being made up about him and things like that. And it was just not, you know, a comfortable position to be in, but I certainly admired him saying, you know, I want to continue. I want to continue the work that I'm doing, and, you know, if I'm defeated, I'm going to work as hard as I can to get elected, but I'm going to try again. And as I say, he went from third to first place in the voting. He also did that 4 years ago. There were a few people, I don't think the daily papers endorsed him either time, but he has worked hard both times, especially this time, and he came out on top. And I think people saw that all this garbage that was being spread around about him simply because he voted against the marijuana dispensary in Decatur, you know, they give him a resounding vote of confidence. Even only one out of 10 voters basically voted. But they're saying, you know, we want you back there. Not only do we want you back, you know, we're putting you in first place of the three. And I think he has to feel really good about that.
Yeah, you know, the incumbents, and there wasn't really any surprises to me in the city council race. I mean, if you look at it, yeah, there was a shifting of the top three, a little movement around there, but that same tier of candidates that did in the primary exactly what they did in the general election, I wasn't surprised at all. Ed Culp did very well for himself, though, as a guy who is running for office for the first time. He really separated himself from the rest of the pack.
Yeah, he really did, and he did it in the primary too. And I think, as I wrote here a few weeks ago, Ed is just an easy choice. I did endorse Ed, but he's an easy choice to endorse. Certainly, the background in law enforcement, a lifelong resident of Decatur, involved in this community for, in many ways, you know, I mean, he was to me the type of candidate that you want running for an office like that, and picking the and endorsing the three in the general election certainly was much easier than picking the six who would emerge from the primary. But it wasn't really a surprise, I think, was just in the order that the three finished, because the only shift was that Chuck went from third to first. Everything else remained the same, and Marty Robbins ran a strong campaign. I think there was, and mentioned this last week, probably a mistake he made in the last week or two did not help him any when he decided and came out pretty strongly for reasons that seemed illogical to me, regardless of the reason he was doing it. When he came out and said, I will support, you know, a recreational marijuana dispensary, certainly had the right to do that. But I think a lot of the older voters, at least the ones I talked to, were kind of counting on him to be against that. And several of them, right after that announcement was made, said, well, I'm not going to vote for him. So I don't know if it would have changed things at all. Probably not. But I think that hurt Marty.
All right. You know, it's interesting to me, though, if you just look at the two incumbents, if you look at David Horn and you look at Chuck Kuhl, you know, they have been on the opposite side of things many, many, many times. I think what this election proves, well, first, what I know that it proves is, you know, you have 48,132 registered voters and only 12.4% of them deem it important enough to participate in this process, which is a problem. Secondly, I think that people aren't one-issue voters.
Yeah, Paul, we lost a connection to Brian. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to take a quick timeout. We'll get Brian back, and we'll put you on hold. We'll come right back with more Byers & Company right after this.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
Sorry about that, Paul. We had a connection thing on our end. My apologies. We're back with Paul Osborne, the City Hall insider, former mayor of Decatur. I don't know how much of that you heard. My point that I was trying to make was that I don't think that voters, even the small percentage of people who vote, are single-issue voters, because the top two vote-getters are on opposite sides of a lot of the debates we've had in this community over the last couple of years.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think they tried to push this as a referendum on the dispensary. And I think if that's the case, then when you have the only two that either took a stand against the dispensary or voted against it as a council member, Chuck and also Ed, winning, if you're going to make that a referendum, then that referendum lost. But I think you're right. I think it was much more than that. I think this was something. Maybe some of the voters and scared some of the older voters who would vote no, most of them no for this. It gave them a reason, but I think most of all that really didn't enter into the decision that people made. And I was shocked. I went over to the county building to vote on Monday, and certainly no one else was there voting. And I thought, well, this doesn't look good. And I think it's the first time that's ever happened. And you wonder what the result would be, you know, if you had 50% of the people vote or whatever. And I think what bothers me is here these people go out and campaign, all six of them in this case here, and all the other offices, and in the case of the city. Then, you know, you have basically one out of 10 registered voters in the community saying, I even care about this. I care about it enough to vote. And it's not much of a mandate to serve, but it is a mandate.
Yeah, I think that as this debate rages across the country, you know, with what's going on in Georgia and people trying to sort of change voting laws, there is still a responsibility to the general population to participate. And I think that is missed when we have these conversations. I can't make people be interested in it, but you ought to be. It ought to be your responsibility as a citizen of the community to care about these offices.
Yeah, and as you've mentioned, you know, so many times before, these are offices that directly impact your life here. It impacts what taxes you pay, the services that you receive. You're voting for people who are going to make those decisions that have direct impact on where you live, where you operate your business. Why wouldn't you be interested in at least studying some issues or studying the candidates or even voting? And they've made it so easy to vote now, too. Used to be you go, and usually I vote on election day. This day I voted a day early. But I would not think of not voting, you know. And I voted at times when there wasn't a whole lot of interest or a whole lot of things to vote for because a lot of the candidates weren't even opposed. But I think it goes back to our responsibility as a citizen. I've never, since I've been old enough to vote, and it's been a lot of years, you know, I've voted in every election. And because I feel it's my duty to vote, it's my duty to study the candidates as best I can and make a decision that I believe is best for the community. And, you know, what simpler thing can you do for your community than be interested enough to, I'm looking at the place I voted right out my window now. I mean, how inconvenient is it? It took me 10 minutes to go over there and vote and come back. It's just, you won't give 10 minutes, you won't give 15 minutes out of a couple years of your time to support your community. These candidates have been out there working hard, all of them, you know, to get elected, and you wouldn't even take the time out of your busy, busy day to vote for them, to study them, see where they are, and see where the community is going. Where do you want this community to go? And I've always felt, and maybe I shouldn't feel this way, if you don't get vote in elections and get involved, then you don't have a right to complain. You had your chance. You know, they're always going to vote somebody out, but did you vote somebody in?
But, Paul, this isn't a new story. I mean, the percentages may be smaller, but, you know, I can go back years ago to, you know, the beginning years of my career in radio, and there was a guy, and I can't for the life of me remember his name now, but would show up at every city council meeting and harangue the entire council, and we discovered he had never, ever voted in a city council
race. I remember that. Well, he stopped showing up then.
Yeah.
You remember that?
It wasn't about, yeah, I do. I mean, it wasn't about him not having a right to free speech. It was just sort of, the hypocrisy of you don't even care enough. You care enough to show up every Monday night and yell at these people, but you can't be bothered to go to a polling place and actually decide, you know, who's on that council. And so this stuff's always been around to one extent or another. Quickly, I've only got a couple minutes left here, but you write about small businesses in Illinois in your column today, and particularly small retail businesses and restaurants. And the one thing, I agree with everything that you wrote, and my heart breaks about every single one of these businesses that have had to close their doors. But there has been something during this pandemic that I think is disturbing to me in the blame game. You know, the virus has picked who gets impacted, not people. It isn't the mayor's fault. It's not the hospital's fault or the health department's fault. I mean, the virus has decided how it's going to spread. Are you disappointed in the way that it's become political?
Yeah, to me, the virus is the enemy. You know, it's not our leaders. It's not those who are trying to keep us safe. And certainly this is a very difficult time to be mayor, to be an office holder, to be a council member. And you're charting a course where, first of all, you want to protect the population. You want to keep our population healthy. But the other side of this is the economic distress that it's caused. And I think when you make the economic distress political, too, and then the virus political, everything political, that usually doesn't turn out too well. I mean, we have to have a clear vision about where we're going and what we're doing and how we handle this, and forget the politics, even though that seems oversimplified. Let's work together, Democrat, Republican, whatever, and work to get through this together. So that we can all join hands, and you know, we're not going to sing some song together, but we stay together, you know, we live and we prosper, and that's what we need to do.
Paul, have a great week. We appreciate you, and we will talk to you next Thursday. Paul Osborne, the City Hall Insider.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.